And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, choir, Carol. It is good to be back. We just got back, actually this morning, from our mission trip to Guatemala, and we were able to worship last Sunday at two different churches, Luz del Mundo, Light of the World. It was a church in Chantla, and we got to participate in a baptismal service as one of their church members was being baptized. And that afternoon, we got to worship with our missionary friend, Efrain Juarez, and his church, Fuente de Salvación. We did some wiring in a church in Chantla, Luz del Mundo, and then the rest of our group, they participated in Bible school. And let's just say, kids, that Carson already knows the moves in the music. So he is going to be there. I think there's a video floating around as well of some of those dance moves. You will be impressed, so encourage all y'all to come out to see that. So thank you for your prayers and your support for that. It was a wonderful, wonderful trip, such a blessing to be able to go and participate. We look forward to sharing more about those experiences. So today we have our continuing in our Ten Commandments sermon series, Respect for Others. The golden rule, we all know it, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. This is wisdom. This is teachings that are very familiar within other cultures. Different religions share the same philosophy. We even see these in several of our texts in our faith. Old Testament in Leviticus, there's a scripture that we can read here. It's do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. We then have the scripture passage in Matthew in the Gospels. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And then finally, also the greatest command, Jesus says, love God and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so we all know this golden rule. I had a seminary professor who, in all of his theological training and all the study of the Bible, he tried to sum up everything he thought it said by basically saying, don't be a jerk. Be nice to everybody. So this is a rule or a command or a law or a teaching that encourages us in our relationships with other people. And so today we're going to look at several commandments, 6, 7, and 8, that are part of the social commandments that deal with us and our relationship with other people. They're also known as the horizontal commandments. And so if you remember in our study, we talked about the vertical commandments, those first four commandments as far as our relationship with God and how we are able to connect with God. And we begin by realizing that the Ten Commandments in our study is not based on our religion of law. If you look at it as a religion of law, it's us trying to follow commandment 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're working our way up a ladder. And as we go up the ladder, then if we can just follow one more law and we follow all 10 commandments, then we will be in right relationship with God. We will reach God. That's based on a religion of law. So it's us going from up, from the bottom up. But instead, our religion, our faith is based on a religion of grace. Everything comes from top down. And so if we follow one commandment, if we follow all the commandments, it doesn't matter because we're able to be in relationship with God through grace, through the gift of His Son that allows us to be in communion with Him. And so then we acknowledge that these commandments, these truths, are given to us by God as our loving Father because He knows what's best for us. And so then out of love and obedience, we follow them. And so those first four commandments, those vertical commandments, just as a quick review, the first one is to not have any other gods before me. We entitled it, Let God Be God. Then the next one is not having any idols, so there's no idols. Sometimes we're good at creating idols, things that get in between our relationship and God, things that we pursue other than focus on God being the most important thing in our life. Then we talked about the third commandment, not using the Lord's name in vain, not misusing or using it flippantly. No OMG, if you remember. And then finally talked about remembering God by keeping the Sabbath holy, which was a reminder for us as God created the world on the Sabbath, He rested. We need rest. And it's important for us to take time to rest. And then as we went into those social commands, we remembered that we honor God when we honor our mother and father. And so here we continue on with our social commands, dealing with our relationship with others by looking at the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Or you may have heard a revised translation later on, you shall not murder. It better describes the way that the Hebrew people viewed and understood this commandment. They never saw this commandment as you shouldn't kill under any circumstances at all. If you take a look back at the Hebrew history, there are certain crimes that were punishable by death. If you did some extra work on the Sabbath, remember you're supposed to be resting, you could be stoned. And then the wars were viewed as part of God's covenant with the Hebrew people. And so they were commanded to go out and to conquer different nations. And even in some cases, the killings even extended beyond the battlefield. So the purpose of this commandment is to draw attention to this main point, respect for human life. There is worth and value to life. So why is this? Why should we respect life? Because our life comes from God. Our worth, our value comes from the one who gives us value. We are God's. We are made in God's image. God cares for us. God loves us. Therefore, God values us. This is a command that we can just check off. We don't kill. We don't murder. But if you look at it from the point that we are supposed to value life, then sometimes we can be guilty of what's called this theological term of thingifying people. When we turn people and see them as things instead of a human being that's valued by God. It's easy then when we don't attach any value to them, we just see them as things, to therefore not see any value. For those who know the history in World War II, when we fought against the Nazis, they were the enemies. And so it was justified for them to be conquered and to killed. But at the same time, they were just following their orders. They were human beings as well. Or even we go back farther in our history and we look at the idea or the institution of slavery, where human beings were not seen as as something to be valued, but as property, as money that we had, something that we could value there. And so to this idea, human life wasn't valued. People were just seen as things. And this is a difficult subject. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Even in our legal settings, there are certain degrees that are set to classify in the court settings as to murder and what you're charged with. But it all leads back to the point that life is sacred. Even those who, even within the military, within war, or as a police officer in the call of duty, that had to take a life, it weighs upon them, that decision, and it's difficult for them to live with. Which brings us back to that point again, that life is sacred. Life is to be valued because we are created by God, made in God's image, therefore loved by God. The next commandment deals with respect for others within the institution of marriage. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Again, we need to look back at the Hebrews' story and their history. They were not a monogamous society, one husband and one wife. They had several instances of many wives. Even if you remember the story of David and other royal kings, they had concubines. And so over the course of time, the Hebrew people became a monogamous society. They learned the value in just having one husband and one wife. We too have learned the value of that Several years back, I don't even know if it's still on now, but my wife started watching the Sister Wife show. I don't know if any of y'all saw those, and it's just almost just so different from what we understand and seeing the dynamics and the relationships that are going on and how important it is, the relationships that we have, that we value. Relationships are important. If we look at God within the Trinity, we see that God's very nature is community. We are created then to be in relationship with God. We need that community. And so then we look within our family systems. We have relationships with our parents. Just before the fifth commandment, honor our mother and father. We honor God by honoring our father. So we have that family connection there as part of our community. And then in turn, we have special relationships with our siblings, with our friends. But there's something different within the relationship within marriage. And it's the intimacy. And it's important to realize that the intimacy within marriage makes this relationship special because it's created there by God. The text in Mark talks about the husband leaving his mother and father, uniting with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It is special, it is created by God. But however then, because it's so special, when that relationship is broken, when that trust is broken, whenever there is adultery, then it is difficult to come back for. So it breaks that relationship within the husband and wife. It breaks that relationship within the family, and therefore, without the family within the community will suffer as well. And there are some times when that trust can be rebuilt, but we all know of instances where it's difficult to rebuild that trust, and then the marriage fails. And so then this is why God has put us before us this commandment, the importance of community and the importance of keeping our relationships together. So then we look now finally at the eighth commandment. Do not steal. It's an easy one. We know that it's wrong to steal. I've shared with y'all the story before. I learned early on that you're not supposed to steal. I knew I wasn't supposed to steal, but I was at the bowling alley and my mom was busy bowling. And there was all these video arcade games that I wanted to play. And she had some quarters in her pocketbook. And so I asked her nicely if I could go play video games. And she said no. And so I went and took the quarters out of her pocket anyway and went and played video games while she was blowing. So even though I knew it was wrong, my desire to play video games was more important to me than not stealing. I should probably keep this in mind when I was that age, and that desire, when I wonder why my boys want to spend so much time on the Xbox and their phone as well, as far as doing the video games and playing those things. But it is wrong to steal. What this commandment does is it brings up this idea of personal property and respect for others' personal property. Some things are important to people and community. For example, if one person in a community took all the food and the water for himself, then others in the community would suffer. They would starve. They wouldn't have anything to eat, and the community would no longer exist. There was a sign that was posted about a little girl who had lost a teddy bear. And she described the teddy bear was missing one ear, missing an eye. It was discolored in one area. And the reward for finding this lost teddy bear was $50. Well, back when my boys were little, $50, you could go to Build-A-Bear and create and custom make your own teddy bear with everything you'd want on it. It may be more than that, I don't know. But the point was is that it was more than the money, that this teddy bear had sentimental value for this little girl. So this then underlines this connection between us and our personal property, that some things have value to us. And so if they are stolen, it affects us in a negative way. There was a ex-con who had got out and went by an elderly person's home, and he posed as a home inspector. And so then in turn, he said that in order for your home to be up to code, because it's out of code, you need a new furnace. So basically, he swindled this elderly couple out of their life savings. They were left with no money, and they thought, well, what's the point then? We might as well just go ahead and give it up and die. He didn't value their property. He didn't value what they had. And by stealing that from them, it affected them. It hurt them, even to the point that they were just ready to give things up. As a teenager, our home was broken into. And later on, when the criminals were caught, they didn't steal anything. They didn't steal any of my video games, which was obviously important to me at that point in time. Didn't steal any toys or anything of mine. They stole some guns. But even in that case, it just left me feeling violated. And it left me feeling hurt. And it affected us and our family. And if you've had something stolen from you, you could definitely understand. There was a nurse in Alabama who worked for a lady who lived right beside us in the home beside us. And she would come and just, she was the caregiver for her. When she was leaving work one night, she was robbed and they stole her pocketbook. And so what that does is then it breaks the trust within the community. You don't even feel safe when you're leaving your house. And you can see how when things are stolen from us, our own personal property, how it can affect us as individuals to not trust others, but also as within the community to not trust those around us. How many of y'all lock your car doors at your house? I've heard some people say that they would park their car in their garage and lock their car door with even in the garage. That's how much they trusted those around in the community. We remember the days when you leave your car door unlocked, you leave your house door unlocked, didn't worry about it. But it can affect us as a community, and that's what God is getting at, is how important the community is in our relationship with others, that He is giving us commandments so that we can live in right relationship with those around us. The early church in Acts shared all their possessions. You've heard the story about Clarence Jordan and how he created and started Koinonia Farms, where they lived all together and they were all equal in sharing their possessions. So this idea of our own personal property that has sentimental value, things that are important to us, and we all have things that we love and care for that are important to us, it brings up an idea of ownership versus stewardship. These things that we have, are we the owners, and they're ours, we work for them and they're ours, and we're going to do with them as we pleased? Or is it the mentality that these things are blessings from God, that He has given to us, that He has entrusted with us, so in turn we are to be good stewards of these things within our lives? Shared with you earlier, one of the churches that we worked at in Guatemala, Luz del Mundo, Light of the World. Just wanted to share with you the history of that church. I've been going to Guatemala for over 20 years, and the first time I visited that church, it met in one of the people in the community in their house. It was house church, like so many of the churches within the Bible. And so they would just pack into one of the main rooms, and they would have their worship service each week. People would have to cross over either just one little pedestrian bridge over the main river, or they'd have to hop from stone to cross the river just to get to that church for those who lived within the community. Later on, we had a medical mission trip there, and we gathered in that person's home and were able to help those congregants. So when we visited just this past week, they had bought land in front of their home and built a church. And so we were able to help their church by doing some of the wiring. And then in addition to that, we were able to make a donation for them to build a security wall around the front of a church. How appreciative they were to be able to have a nice church building to meet in, to have the opportunity to have more safety and security around that building with the wall. And this is something that we, as our church here at Zion, are able to partner with them. We are blessed here in the United States to have so many stuff and things. And so to be able to share the resources and the blessings with other brothers and sisters in Christ is such a special opportunity to be those hands and feet, to partner together with other Christians in serving the Lord. And so I just wanted to thank y'all for that partnership with them and just to share an example of how we can share some of the things that God has given us as a church with other Christians who are carrying the gospel out to their community, who are baptizing new believers into their Christian family, and who are showing others in their community the love of God. And so as we then consider this golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, just as a reminder and a summary of these three commandments, the sixth commandment of not murdering. The point that we are to take from that is to respect others, that we were created in God's image, that we have value and worth. Not committing adultery is the point that our relationships are important. And in some instances, within the bonds of marriage, there's this intimacy and that we are to not break that. But it reminds us of the importance of our relationship first and foremost with God. And then this idea that we have been blessed with personal property and that we're not to take advantage and steal others, but at the same time, it's a reminder for us that what we have is not ours. We're not the owners, but God is. And we're to be good stewards of that. So may we take to heart not only just these three commands, but those that we have learned, and to apply them to our lives, to live them out each day in our faith. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for so many of the laws that you've given us, these Ten Commandments that we're able to take time to learn and to focus on. But we most importantly thank you for the grace that you've extended down to us through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we know that we are fall short so many times of your love, and we fall short and we're not able to do what we would hope to do, Lord. But you continue to extend that grace to us time and time again. You forgive us of our shortcomings. You forgive us when we mess up. You continue to love us. And God, we just thank you for that. Lord, give us the wisdom, the strength, and the guidance as we strive to live out our faith. Help us to apply these commandments to our Christian walk. And may we in turn share the love and to share your wisdom with those around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.